We're just waiting for a few more people to come in. I'll just answer another question at random just while people come in. Here we go, random question. When we meditate, how do we practice compassionate meditation? Do we watch our breath flow first and give measure of compassion for loved ones or even our enemies? You do it at the same time. You can have compassion towards anything. How many of you have shown compassion to the ATM? I did. Out of compassion for these brothers and sisters. So, you can do compassion to the breath. Which is you breathe in, or may my breath be happy and well. May my out breath flow nice and peacefully. When you add compassion to wherever you're watching, it's so easy to do. And you get very peaceful. I very much respect your teachings, but they somewhat seem to condone bullies. What can one do when faced with something, problems like bullies? If there is a problem with bullies, yeah, it's time to let go, and it's time to let go, because you're here on this retreat. When it's time to do something, do it. So if there's a bully, then sometimes you need to stand up to bullies. And one of the best ways of standing up to bullies in a class is usually more, there's only one or two bullies. If everybody else combines together, you've got much more strength than the bully. So what should happen if you see a bully? You should stand up for the person being bullied. When everybody sort of stands up for the people being bullied, you all join together, the bully has lost his power. Remember, a bully, he works on fear, and it's only the fear which you give them. So if you stand up to them, not just by yourself, for the bullies are usually stronger, but get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of your friends in the class. And even if you're girls, you stand up for the boys when they're being bullied. If you all stand up together, together you have power. Which is an important thing to do. Okay, we're still trying to get something organized. So another question. Director, what do you suggest we can do to continue this meditation momentum after leaving this retreat? Easy, don't leave. I'll just carry on, join the BF and do some more meditation there. Can I get what I'm suggesting about a relationship that did not work where I wanted to be? I'm not married yet, should I find a new one? Okay, well look, there's a time to sort of cut loose, you know, it's not going to work out. So there's always so many other people you could go and meet. And if they don't really appreciate you by now, they're not worth you. So just let them go. They had their chance. They will regret it later on. So dump them. If you say that you must think of the Buddha before you die, what if you are a good person and not think of the Buddha before you die? What will happen if you're a good person and you think of something good? You don't have to think of the Buddha, just think of something good when you die. By something good, I don't mean like durian, which you like to eat, otherwise you'd be reborn as a durian. I mean something good, like really kind and generous and good, and think of that. Are we ready? Angie? You ready? Oh yeah? How much? I'll do one more question. Okay. Donation is great for... Okay, I've got another one about highlighting their names for new donations. This is last question time. Dear Thakur Prabhu, I need your advice on how to increase my self-confidence, improve my self-esteem, and walk on my easy depressed mood. Okay. It's very easy. One way of being confident is look in the mirror every morning, the two-finger trick. I read about it in my book. Every morning, look in the mirror, get your two fingers out, push up and smile. Because happiness is another form of confidence. And other times, remember that people, when you lack confidence, it means you wonder what other people think about you. And they're not thinking about it, as I said the other night. They're thinking about themselves, so do whatever you want. And that means you get confident. And also just think, what will happen? I did this when I started giving public speaking. That's why I get confidence. If I fail and nobody laughs at my jokes and they fall asleep at my talks, those are the ones who stay, everybody else walks out. If I'm a total failure and a hopeless case of giving talks, brilliant! Now I can have a peaceful life. And if I'm successful giving talks, great! I can serve people and make Buddhism a much more popular religion in our world. Great! So either way I win. That's one of the tricks of confidence. when you're going to win both ways, you're not afraid anymore. So whatever happens, you're confident. Which means you're not afraid, whatever happens, you're going to win. So bend it so whatever happens, you go into an examination, be confident. If you pass, great, marvellous. If you fail, at last you don't have to do any more exams. You're out of school and university, you can enjoy yourself. So either way you win, which means you're confident. But that's the other way of being confident. Just make it so either way you're going to win. You go and get your biopsy report. Are you afraid? No, you're confident. If it turns out negative, you haven't got cancer, brilliant. You're going to live. If you find out you're going to die, wonderful. I don't have to worry about old age people's homes. Either way, you win. Despite all your guidance, despite all your guidance, I'm in trouble again. Despite all your guidance about ghosts, both my teenage kids are still scared. How else am I convince them? Side and side and side. If you really want to convince your kids, go and show them a real ghost. They're really cute and soft and warm. So what to do to convince your kids? Get somebody, just if you've got a little actor, to dress up as a ghost. And get them as a ghost, like having little, whatever your kids like, maybe little cuddly toys. And so the ghost comes every Christmas and gives your kids nice gifts. And so their kids will start to look at the ghost like Santa Claus. The ghosts are really nice, they love kids. Ghosts need a PR makeover. So go to a PR firm, and so they can get them. They do these things for politicians and for film stars and stuff, they give them a PR makeover. So give ghosts a PR makeover in Singapore. Ghosts are cool, ghosts are warm, ghosts are kind. So if you do things like that, and then your kids aren't afraid of ghosts anymore. Good idea. But if you keep telling them, if you don't do your homework and stay up till late at night, the ghost will get you. Then you make them scared. So actually ghosts are very nice. They're really soft. They are misunderstood. Dear emptiness, this afternoon while meditating, I suddenly felt emotional and developed the urge to cry. So I let my tears flow. Great! Any advice on this weird feeling of mine? It's not weird. It's great to cry. So just go for it. Every time, sometimes you have the feeling of crying because you've drunk too much water and you're full up and it just overflows. So just let it. It's good to cry. I mentioned that seriously. On one retreat I gave in Perth many years ago, this man about 40 or 50, an executive, he started crying while he was meditating. And he told me afterwards that's the first time he cried in about 25 years. It felt so good at last to be able to cry. He felt human again. He just couldn't cry. And now he could. It's just a great emotional release. It's a wonderful thing to do. And so I know somebody, maybe the same person who came to interviews, asked that question. If any of you want a good business opportunity in Singapore, start a crying club. A place where you can come to and just cry and weep, and it's allowed. They got these laughing clubs, people that go and laugh, laugh, laugh. Do the same thing with crying. It will be very, very popular. You can do that as a class in the Brahms Center, a crying group. So you just go there, just say something really sad and get people crying. Or show one of these movies where all ends up bad at the end. And they go crying. People love crying. So much so they're quite happy to spend about $50 just the ability to cry somewhere. You get a lot of people. Another person. See, all my business opportunities just get frustrated. I said the same thing to Mr. Google when he started Google, and didn't believe it. How do you help a person who is suffering from depression? Tell him a joke. The Brahm Center, meditation is a great way of overcoming depression. It's a very famous way. I get many people who come to our temple because they're referred by their doctors from depression. They go, it really helps. Why do you decide to follow Theravada Buddhism instead of Mahayana, Vajrayana? What is the difference about these types of Buddhism? Because when I was a young man in London, I didn't go to any temple. We didn't have much choice in those days because there were so few Buddhists. But when I wanted to become a monk, I decided to become a monk in the Theravada tradition in Thailand. And this is absolutely true, because the Thai monks smiled the most. That's the only reason. The Mahayana monks, especially the Zen monks, never smile. Sri Lanka monks were just as bad. Tibetan monks were okay, but the Thais smiled the most. That's why I chose Thai Buddhism, really. Because I decided if someone is enlightened, they're sort of spiritually awakened, they might be happy. So I wanted to find out which was the happiest one, because that would be the wisest one. So that's my motto to each one of you. Never follow a miserable monk. Or a miserable nun for that matter. Make sure they're happy. It's much more fun, it's much more enjoyable. Great for lectures when they make you laugh. Dear Ajahn, my meditation seems to fall into a frustrating pattern. Wandering mind, mindfulness, dullness, sudden awareness, then time's up. What do you mean time's up? You keep on going if it's working. There's no bells over here. You keep on going if you're having a good time. There's no such thing as time's up. Well, going back to that cycle again. So, wandering mind, mindfulness, dullness, sudden awareness, carry on. Don't just think time's up. Have no clock, no bell silence. No bell peace prize. If it's working, carry on. You can get some lunch later on. You can get some dinner later on. There's no problem at all. If it's working, carry on. Imagine if the Buddha stopped for dinner under the Bodhi tree. He would have never got it light. Dinesh Brown, thank you. Great, that's a good question. I'm not going to get through these questions in here. Dear Ajahn Brahm, my mother-in-law is always talking of the past and affecting her. How can I guide her to let go and enjoy what she has today, e.g. her children, grandchildren, and her success in raising them happily? The only way that your mother-in-law will stop thinking of the past when she gets old enough to get Alzheimer's. So just wait for a little while, let's just it's only when the present moment becomes more attractive to your mother, there's a happier time, that's when she will not go on to the past. You only go into the past because you always think that's the happiest moment. When the present moment is more happy, then she'll stay with that. For example, you've got a mother-in-law, you've got kids, especially grandchildren. When she's with her grandchildren, her grandmothers love grandkids, so that will keep her in the present moment much more. But when she starts talking about the past, don't say stop talking about the past, because that just encourages your mother to say more, mother-in-law. So just keep, you know, humouring her. When she talks about the present, pay more attention. It's just mother-in-law problem. I don't know if you've ever done this, but take the word mother-in-law, rearrange the letters, and it spells Hitler woman. Well guys, there's something behind that. Remember this English comic, he said, my favourite mother-in-law joke, he said, my mother-in-law would come to our house every Christmas. She's been coming to our house every Christmas for the last 20 years. This year remained an exception. We decided to let her in the house. She's been coming to our house every year for 20 years. This year we decided to let her in. Mother-in-law joke. Why do Buddhists say people who meditate make more merit than people who keep precepts or donated money? Because the real meaning of good karma is a step closer to nirvana. If you make a big leap towards nirvana, that's the best karma. So when you're donating, you're actually letting go. When you're keeping precepts, you're letting go of the defilements which make you do bad things. When you're meditating, you really get close to nirvana. That's why it's the highest karma. A step towards nirvana is called good karma. A step away from nirvana is bad karma. Dear Ajahn Brahm, how to change bad temper, get easily angry or sensitive? The reason why you get bad temper mostly is because you're tired. So give yourself a break, rest more, you find that lessens your bad temper a lot. they've learned to be wise. It's a waste of time having a bad temper. People don't listen to you anyway. It's like shouting at a brick wall, getting angry. So you're just crazy. It's a waste of time. Don't do it. If you want to influence people and get your own way, be sneaky, not angry. Gautama, does Buddhism encourage procreation? I'm confused. Is the ultimate goal of Buddhism is to attain nirvana, not to be reborn into this world? But if you have kids, you're giving them an opportunity, you know, to become enlightened. You're giving all these animals an opportunity to listen to the Dhamma and to grow and be better. So is having kids good that way? Opening the opportunities for more people to listen to the Dhamma. In that way, it's good. As long as you can look after the kids. But sometimes there's so many kids in this world, it's actually a bit too much, which is causing all the problems with our resources. Which is why when people, they accuse me, Ajahn Brahm, you fly around too much. That's one of the greatest causes of pollution and global warming, air travel. So my answer is, yes, I admit I do travel around a lot. But I offset that with the carbon credits which I gave from not having kids. So that's why I'm here. So I'm totally green. What is the Buddhist view of dreams? Has anyone dreamt of Satan before? Satan is another misunderstood person. All he really wants is some love and respect. So if you ever see Satan, say, oh, there's Satan. So never mind. I know that everyone is scared of you and doesn't love you, and you got this bad rap by what you did to the Buddha under the Bodhi tree. But never mind. The door of my heart is open to you, Satan. That's a wonderful thing to do, because there's so many Satans in this world, people you don't like, your enemies. And that's the way to overcome Satan. Or Mara, or anyone. Open the door of your heart. Love conquers all. I have. You've dreamt of Satan. I'm still unconsciously afraid. I'm more conscious of the bad things I've done. Need to repent. Be conscious of all the good things you've done, not just the bad things you've done. And then when you realize you're not just a bad person, you're not a good person, you're both, you're middle way, and that's the best of the Buddhists. Don't be just really, really good, that's going to one extreme. Not really, really bad, that's going to the other. So be the middle way. Just be you. Actually, you should be really good. That's actually being really good. Because once you're not afraid, if you're really afraid of badness and feel guilty about it, you do more bad things. If you understand them, learn from them, let them go, and you don't do bad things again. There's many, many talks about that, so I won't go into that here. Director Baum, can you please kindly give some basic instructions on metta meditation? Thank you very much. Yes. Go to the ATM machine and start stroking the ATM. May all ATMs be happy and well. May they always have lots of money inside. May the electricity supply never go out. May people never shout at you when they find out there's no money in their account. It's not your fault, so I love you no matter what happens. And do metta meditation to the ATM machine. Go stroking it and stroking it. And who knows? You may get out a 100-baht note tonight. So, metta meditation is not really enough time to do this. Now, if you're staying for the rest of the thing, I'll try to do metta meditation later on. If you're going tomorrow, it's on the tapes, on the recordings, on the BF website, on the BSWA website it is. So you get it off on the web. Lastly, has anyone ever left from Ajahn Brahm's retreat because you cannot meditate? Yes, I left. I disappeared. And then I found out I could meditate. And many of you, if you leave this retreat, your body is here, your mind is here, but you disappear. That's called the realization of anatta, non-self. You've left, you've departed. You're not here anymore. Just the five khandhas, the five roots, the body and the mind, that's all the same. But you have gone. Peace at last. So actually, some people have left during my retreat and had a wonderful time. Unfortunately, many of them will come back and found they're still here. So at least left for a little while. That is the best leaving. So has anyone else left during Manavati? She says it's a long time since people have left. Usually if they do leave, it's because some emergency happens, such as they die. No, they never die, by the way. Sometimes they get a phone call that someone's had an accident, so they have to leave very quickly. But never because they don't like it. In fact, usually they feel sad when they're leaving. I don't want to go back to Singapore. I just want to go and meditate some more. I want to listen to some more stupid jokes. Well, you can. You can cancel your life. You can tell your boss, oh no, I am staying here an extra few days because Ajahn Brahm says it's going to make me more efficient as a worker for you. If you work in the financial industry, so I'm trying to get such deep meditation so that I can actually foresee the stock market and find out what's going to happen in the euro crisis. That's the only way I can find out. So I'm staying here to do extra research. So can you please pay the bill? I don't know, for some reason. But anyway, that was the last question. So quick, I didn't really answer them, 40 some of them, I made jokes about them, but at least it made people happy. So what we'll do is just do a very short meditation, 10 minutes, just because it's already 10 o'clock. But we'll just do a 10 minutes meditation just to finish this time we're doing things. We do, sorry?
20 minutes?
Yeah. 20? No. Okay. Well, you can do 10 minutes, and then another 10 minutes afterwards. So, just 10 plus 10. Okay, actually, what do we do tomorrow morning? Is it still 6:30 to 7:30 for most people? Because some people are leaving, or?
Yeah.
Most people are here, will be 6:30 to 7:30, guided meditation.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So, a 20-minute meditation to finish off. But most people get enlightened and going home tomorrow. If you're enlightened, no need to go home. Stay forever. Okay. So here we are, sitting down. Me without my cushion. This is fine, this is very soft anyway. So bring all your attention to your body. Relax your body. Be kind to your body, be kind to your mind. And once the body is relaxed, let the body go. Put attention to your mental world. How do you feel right now? What's it like inside your mind? Let go of all past and all future. This present moment is like a stone seat. It's not the best to sit on at first, but just stay here. Stay in the present moment. It soon turns into something very present. So please be here in this moment. Be kind to whatever you're experiencing right now. This moment is right in front of you. It's the most important moment in the world. I'm sure with the answers to three questions. The one in front of you is the most important person. This moment is the most important moment in your life. And what to do is to care for this moment. Embrace it. Be kind to it. Look after it. Nurture it. This moment will grow in peace, in freedom, in love. Be here. Be kind to this moment, opening the door of your heart to whatever you're experiencing right now. no need to go to the conversation about them. Just calm the thinking mind down very gently, so you can know what's happening without giving things a name. Having silent awareness of the present moment. Know the presence that comes in. Know the presence that goes out. You can use the mantra, breathing in peace, breathing out let go. Breathing in peace, breathe out let go. Always in the moment, no other words except breathing in peace, breathe out let go. Settled with the breath, and hide any thoughts of past or future, and let go of the world and just be with the breath, breathing in, breathing out, and finding this breath as a great friend. You're allowed to come in slowly or fast as it wants. And that friend is just a very gently, peacefully, kindly be with your breath.
Thank you.